is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Christian Arcan with us today. 617-779-7937. We are broadcasting from a very hot and muggy Fenway Park. And we are at the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball. And that dirty water. 48 hours ago, the Giannis talk to the Celtics was dead. And then all of a sudden, fire, my friends. All over the place, there is smoke. It started with Bill Simmons in that clip right there. Then right after that, you had Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. He had a report very similar. And then Sam Amick from the New York Times and The Athletic had a report today. And all of a sudden, Kalshi's just going nuts. From 9% chance of Giannis coming to the Celtics to right now, it's sitting at about 40-41%. Just an absolute spike here in the last 24 hours. And so there's nobody better to talk to about this than our own friend, Mr. John Corrales from Sports Illustrated. This guy is dialed in with the Celtics. As a matter of fact, that's why he's got the Locked On Celtics podcast as well. John Corrales, are you feeling the smoke? You feeling the
I'm coughing. My eyes are watering. There's so much smoke.
This is weird. You have to admit that 48 hours ago, like, no one was talking about it. We kind of thought it was all dead. And then we just went, I mean, like, 0-60 all of a sudden.
So this is what concerns me with this stuff. That's not how trade talks work. You know what I mean? Like, you don't sit there and be like, ah, they're out, they're out. Like, with all due respect to people who have legitimate conversations and hear legitimate things, I don't understand the concept of playing possum in trade talks. I don't understand what that does. Like, Brad, what does it do for a team to be like, no, we're out. Just kidding, Milwaukee, we're in. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. What this feels like is, yes, is there interest from the Celtics? Sure. Brad Stevens is always going to pick up the phone because you never know when you're going to get a Nico Harrison calling Rob Pelinka situation. So you always have to answer the phone. You always have to have the conversation. You can't just, the concept of laughing at somebody and hanging up doesn't happen. You can say, no, we're not going that far. But these conversations are like forever flowing. Giannis has been on the market since pre-trade deadline. So none of this is a surprise. This, I may be wrong here. It feels like Milwaukee trying to put some pressure on Miami, because who do these rumors benefit? Doesn't benefit the Celtics to have this suddenly out there. What good does this do them? But it does do Milwaukee a whole lot of good for Pat Riley, who's 81 and chasing probably his final star as a guy who runs a team in the NBA, guy who hates the Celtics. It helps Milwaukee for him to hear, hey, Boston is here. They're gonna Hayward you again. And so I feel like this is classic posturing, and Boston's whatever level of interest is being used to bump up Miami, either to get a third team in, to add more picks, or something.
Well, that's interesting, John. But do you think the Bill Simmons part of this, because that feels like that's coming from a Boston source, no? Or I guess,
well,
supposedly.
I mean, it may well be. It may well be. I don't know. Like that's. I don't know who Bill is talking to. And again, I am not trying to. This is not me trying to talk down about any of these reporters or personalities or anybody. They all have legitimate conversations. They're all when they say something, it's not coming out of nowhere. I know that. But I don't know who's talking to Bill Simmons. He's a Boston guy, obviously, so you'd think he has Boston connections, but he's also a national guy now, so he has connections all over the NBA. So it could be legitimate. There could be talks there. When I'm trying to add things up, it doesn't add up necessarily as smoothly from the Boston side as it does from the Milwaukee side.
John, it sounds like you don't want Boston to really be involved in this. It sounds like you think it's a bad idea.
It's not that I think it's a bad idea. I can't say anything other than that, though. You get Giannis Antetokounmpo. If he's healthy, he's an MVP candidate. Before he got hurt, and he was hurt for most of the year, there was talk about, wow, Giannis is looking like an MVP again. But he's 32. He's had persistent calf issues, and that's scary, knowing what happened with Tatum. Anything calf in the NBA is just like mega red flag. And he's looking for a 4-year extension at, you know, average annual value of $68 million a year that takes him into 36. Now, the Celtics aren't afraid to give a guy an extension. We saw him do it with Porzingis and Holiday and turn around and trade those guys when it got too expensive. So I don't think that's going to scare them away. But it's also like, is that how you want to allocate your assets when you have Jaylen Brown there, who's a little younger and is a proven entity? You've won a championship with Jaylen and Jason. So I'm like 60-40 or 65-35. Don't do it. I understand and acknowledge the benefits of it. But it scares me is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. Well then John, is it possible for this team to be able to put together something before the season starts that would be able to beat that Knicks team the way that they're constituted? Like, is there any other, without getting rid of the two Jays, is there anything else that they can do?
Yeah. I mean, look, they have a few different tools, right? They have the ability to use their full mid-level exception. So, and the way the CBA has created this kind of vacuum in that $20 million type of free agent, I think of like a Kobe White with Charlotte. Now he can get 20 plus million if he stays with his team, but if they're not willing to pay that, then the open market kind of tops out at the full mid-level. So the Celtics have the ability to add a really good kind of scorer. Maybe they bring back Anthony Simons, that type of player, that level of player at the $15 million. And then they can, I think, use Sam Hauser either to clear some space to use the full or most of their traded player exception, or package Hauser with somebody else to get a player in. They have tools to build around Tatum and Brown. And also they have time. I want to make sure that people understand that you don't have to get it all done in July. You can wait and see what Shireman and Gonzalez and Cada and what those guys look like after a summer to work on their games and elevate their games. You can see what they've done and then take one of these tools into next season. And like, if you're talking about the Knicks were up and down. They were a 3 seed. They were a 4 seed and they didn't quite figure things out. People were talking about them losing to the Atlanta Hawks. They were down 2-1 to the Hawks. And then boom, in the first round, things clicked. So the Celtics have a lot of time to get through the next trade deadline to add more to their team. So they have tools and time. So they could go all in now, but they don't have to.
Does the neighbor's rice always smell better? That's what Jaylen Brown put on his old Instagram or Twitter or whatever he was using it on when Bill Simmons came out with that. Which, by the way, I've never smelled my neighbor's rice. I don't even know if rice smells like anything, but
He's in China. He's knee deep in Chinese proverbs right now. So he's really immersing himself in the culture over there. Which, hey, great, go do your thing. But I don't know. I don't know what he's. I feel like there's a battle between the stuff that's being reported and the stuff that's actually been said. And there's equal levels of validity to both. Like, obviously, if people are saying things around the league, that there's something to that. Jaylen has said he wants to stay. Brad Stevens said in that everybody's quoting his press conference where he said, we need somebody to get to the rim. Like, well, Giannis is that guy. In that same press conference, he also said, when we're whole, we're a good basketball team, so we're going to work around the margins. He said that as well. So that flies in the face. People are making a leap, but they are ignoring the fact of what he said. So I think Jaylen might be having some fun with a lot of this. That's my take. I think Jaylen is just kind of like, if it happens, it happens. If it does, I don't know exactly because he's off doing his own thing. But yeah, that's kind of where I landed on Jaylen.
John, did that game 4 give you any flashbacks, palpitations, remind you anything in particular watching the Knicks come back like that?
Yeah. Game 1. That was very game 1 of last year's series against the Knicks, where the Celtics quick triggered a lot of three pointers and didn't work the clock, didn't work for better offense and get better shots. Even if they were still three-pointers, the Spurs could have gotten better shots. They took too many shots with 19, 18, 17 seconds on the shot clock. When you're nursing a 29-point lead or a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, the last thing you want to do is give another team extra possessions by shooting at 16. You're doing that. So you want to run good offense. You don't want to stall. You want to run good offense and get good shots, because every time you score, that negates a New York possession. So it looked very similar to game one Celtics-Knicks last year.
All right. Well, John Corrales, here's to a three-game winning streak for the San Antonio Spurs that will never happen. But how amazing would it be?
Listen, all you got to do is win one game. You just got to win one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't let us win one, as they say. Don't let us win one. And then there you go.
Famous man once said.
That's right. It's a famous. Well, John Corrales, great stuff. We're gonna keep an eye on this smoke that's just coming everywhere. Who knows what's going to happen? It'll be an interesting couple of weeks. There's no question about that. But that's Sports Illustrated is the place where you can check out Mr. Corrales. Always great having you on, bud. Thanks for calling us today.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks. By the way, kilts everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
The Tartan Army is here.
And the Scottish flag, which is quite...
What's up, Scott? Here we go. Are you part of the Tartan Army?
The St. Andrew's Cross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wrong. Hell yes, you are. I love it. We love the Scots here. It's funny. It's like, I don't know how they're not Bostonians, the way they drink. They're literally just like us.
They might just stay.
Like, they found, like, the perfect city to come to.
Except for the prices. We heard from our lady Kat that they're $5 for a beer over there.
Yeah. Like,
what is it here, 12, 13?
They're going to be going to Boston Stadium, where I guarantee it's gonna be $20 for a beer. It is funny. Stiz just sent me this thing where it's one of the Scottish people who's over here for the Tartan Army, and they tweeted this thing. It's like, WTF is the size of these Four Locos, man. They just discovered Four Locos. They're about twice the size of ours back home, man. Wish I had these in Scotland. It's a five-hour bus from New York to Boston now, and they're drinking Four Locos on the bus. That's a bus I would not mind being on, maybe for at least the first 30 minutes. And after that, I might be like, all right, I need a little bit of a
break. Oh, yeah, they're going to be powerhousing on the commuter rail.
It's going to be so great. Well, Noah right now, our intern, is out talking to a few of them because they're here. I mean, they are here. They're banging on the window before we even started. So there you go. So the depression of people with bags on their heads at Fenway Park, I got to tell you, it's doesn't feel as bad when the Tartan Army's around.
And by the way, the Celtics beat very Giannis resistant. They do not want to believe. I mean, Terp, Corrales, you go through the list, Mannix, I guess he's not on the beat so much, but Forsberg.
Scal kind of was.
I am fascinated when Giannis comes here, how the turn will look. The 180, the gushing about Giannis.
They did it with Marcus Smart. They'll do it here, too. Oh, yeah,
do it here.
No question.
All right, 617-779-7937. We will take your calls, and we are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Ken is gone, which means he's probably taking a deuce and got stuck in the bathroom. There he is. What's up, Ken? How's it going? It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken running in. And Christian Arcan is here with us. And the crowd is starting to show up here at Fenway.
First time you missed me on the show.
And we are at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay for what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. By the way, I am looking up and I'm watching this Canada-Bosnia-Herzegovina
easy for you to say.
Game. Yes. And there are a bunch of empty seats. Like, they just showed a second ago, like when you're... Well, not that angle. For some reason, that angle, it doesn't show it as much. But a minute ago, they just showed an angle of the side, and it looked like there were a ton, not in the end zone, or whatever they call it. What do you call the? They call it the end zone in soccer?
Sure.
I don't know what they call it. It's the pitch.
It's pretty
though.
Full to me, right?
No, a second ago, they just showed an angle, and it was like half the crowd was gone. No, hang on. Watch. Okay, here we go. Watch. They pan to the left. Right. Oh, they're back. Maybe it was when they came back from the break.
Maybe last night. This is Toronto. There are a lot of rabid soccer fans, international community.
Big time up there, yeah.
I can't imagine this is not sold out.
I know. Yeah, a minute ago it looked like it was, and maybe it just started, but there didn't look like a lot of people there. But I'm glad it's happening. As I said, soccer is one of those sports that I'm usually not a huge fan of, except for the World Cup. I'm all in on the World Cup. It's a lot of fun, and now that we've got, I only see Scottish people here. I don't see any of the English people. I don't see any of the Norway, Haitian,
right. Ghana,
Iraq. I don't see any of the people that are playing here.
That was the Iraqi fan base.
Right. I mean, I don't see a lot of them. All I see is dudes in kilts and flags. And maybe they're just louder and more obnoxious. The videos from the Dubliner are just fantastic.
Those are great.
I mean,
what's the line to get in there? It must be a two-hour wait, at least.
It's a two-hour wait on a Friday and Saturday night anyway to get in the Dubliner. And so then the Tartan Army shows up and just takes over, and they're singing their songs, and they're freaking out. I don't know if I played. Did I send you, Stiz, the clip of them all losing it inside the bar and taking it over and singing? I'm not sure if they did, but they were. I think it was them at the Dubliner last night.
I don't think so, but I'm sure. Okay. I'll find it.
There was just so many of them that at this point I was just like, you know what? I think people understand what they're all about.
What are Scottish bands? Did you guys do this yesterday?
Well, I would say
Proclaimers, and that's it.
Proclaimers,
Chumbawamba. They Scottish?
I think they're Irish.
I don't think so.
Irish. Yeah.
Dexy's Midnight Runners, I believe, are Scottish.
Okay.
Frightened Rabbit, Snow Patrol, I think might be part
like
Scottish. Great band.
Yeah.
Simple Minds.
Simple Minds. Yep, they are Scottish. Simple Minds, an underrated band.
Yeah, very good.
I know that they have a couple hits, but
Don't
I remember,
You Forget About Me.
I remember I went and listened to, I wanted to hear Don't You Forget About Me, and it was like their greatest hits, and I just let it roll, and I was like, these songs I've never heard are pretty good.
Franz Ferdinand, Glasgow.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Take me out! They have a hit other than that? I'm not sure.
Cocteau Twins. Jesus Mary Chain, Scotland?
Jesus Mary Chain's a good band.
Yeah.
All right, six.
That's them at the Dubliner.
Okay, you know what I like? You know what I seem to like about the Scottish people is that you ever been around people who drink and then there's a point where they turn angry?
Yes.
Like they're the happiest people in the world and then they just get angry?
We live in Boston. Yes, we know
that. Yeah, right. We've been there. Yeah. We've been there a little too late at closing time where you've seen, you know, people getting in fist fights because you looked at the girl wrong.
Yeah.
I may be completely wrong in this, and I might be the most clueless person in the world, but the Scottish don't seem that way. It just seems like the good times keep rolling.
Well, that's what Kat said. They police themselves. If there's anybody that gets out of line, they are quickly squelched.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than being with a good time, like say, having a great time with somebody, and you're out drinking and having fun, and then quickly finding out that they're that guy that turns into the werewolf. Like the moon comes out, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I love you, man. You're the best. I'm going to kill you. Like the same sentence. I used to work with a guy like that.
Wow.
But it was like straight. Crash. He'll be the first one to admit it. He was a guy that he would be the most fun. I was like, I won't kill you. But it's always strange when that happens. But the Scottish don't seem that way. Mm. They seem like they just let them, like until the morning, they're still singing and having fun.
But
and if they're punching you, they're doing it out of love.
This is the honeymoon phase. They're here for a week. So let's see how they smell on Tuesday or Wednesday. Just to be honest, I mean, it's going to be a long week.
What are they going to do in Boston for a week?
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
They're doing it. I think we're seeing it.
They're going to hit.
I know that there's like a ton of them who are buying tickets.
They'll hit every
pub. They're
going to
be here tonight. I guess they will. You know what they might be doing? They might be calling a sports talk radio. Do you by any chance have that clip of Scottish Jimmy who called yesterday or Scottish James?
Yeah, hold on, Rich.
By the way, if you're here from the Tartan Army, I'll take your call. 617-779-7937.
What's the Haitian fan club? I would like somebody from that fan group to call in and rebut the Scottish fervor.
If you are from one of the countries and you are here and you've traveled here to see the World Cup game, 617-779-7937. I honestly, I need to fill my bingo card. We need to get one from every country.
Right, exactly.
Because the Scottish are taking over. Do you have it?
Yeah, Rich, do you want the whole call or the abridged version?
Sure, give me the whole call because I just want you to hear just like what it sounds like to be on the other end of Scottish Jimmy. Now let's go to line one real quick. Scottish Jimmy, what's up, Scottish Jimmy?
Hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I just watched the car there. My butt, it was fantastic. I just went.
Are you in town from Scotland?
No, actually, I live over here. But I'm down in Boston just now. I drive a truck. I'm heading back up to York, Maine.
Excellent.
Scottish Jimmy, I have no idea what you just said, but you're Scottish as hell, and I love it. And yes, Kat was great, that's what you're calling
to say. Do you know Kat?
I've seen her podcast before.
Oh, you've seen her pork chops before. I don't know what you're saying, but it sounds awesome. All right, are you going to be staying up till, I mean, I guess it's 9 o'clock, so are you excited for the Scotland in the Cup?
Yes, I am. Very excited. I live over here. I live in York, Maine, so I don't have to stay up all night to watch the game.
Nice. Scottish Jimmy, you call in whenever you want. As a matter of fact, would you mind being our official Scotland in the World Cup correspondent and like calling in after the match?
Yeah, I can do that. Okay, yeah, I can do that definitely. Uh-huh. Once I'll be sober, but I can do that.
Outstanding.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Scottish Jimmy.
Enjoy York, Maine.
Put him on hold. Did he say, I'm not sure I'll be sober, but I can do that? Was that his final line?
I think that's what he said. Okay. He sounded like he was saying
like, the more I'm around Scottish or I'm hearing Scottish people talk, the more I'm actually starting to figure out what they're saying.
You can pick up a word or two, you know?
You do. All right, line two. We've got Edwin, who is a Haitian fan.
All right.
Edwin, what's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, doing all right. But guess what? Wait until tomorrow. You see the entire stadium is going to be covered with Haitian flags.
Oh, okay.
How many are in town, do you think?
Almost all of us who's in here is going to that thing.
Oh, really?
There's about at least 30,000 of us going to be there.
Oh, wow.
What's the Haitian fan club called? Do they have a name?
Basically, we don't have a specific name for it, but it's going to be fun.
What do you think of these Scottish fans that are just here with their kilts and everything? What do you feel about them?
Well, we may not show up like that, but we wearing our Asian T-shirts and Asian flags. It's gonna be all over Boston. As you can see, if you go to certain little stores, you see even Asian flag is a top priority for us.
All right,
Edwin, we're ourselves.
We're gonna get your number, and we're gonna call you after the game. We need a correspondent. Maybe we'll have you and Scottish Jimmy on at the same time.
Brother, call me anytime.
All right, you got it. We'll put you on hold. We will get your number. That's right.
Think they're gonna like rumble at Gillette?
Oh no!
I seem like both peaceful nations, aren't they?
But then soccer gets involved, and who knows? You know?
They're separated by a moat, aren't they?
I think there's gonna be a bunch of French fans as well. They're gonna be there.
They'll surrender.
I haven't seen any berets in town.
Not Wemby. Wemby's not surrendering. He's guaranteeing a comeback. I mean, the French have changed.
Mm-hmm. I just love the fact that, it's like you look outside, there's Scottish people everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like everywhere you go, it's groundskeeper.
Where do you have it in your accents? Like, is it better,
it's the greatest.
Better than the Irish accent?
Oh, yes. Scottish is better. Yeah. And I think everyone will admit that it's a better accent.
I'll admit I can't tell the difference.
Aussie accent I like. I'm kind of a sucker for a good Australian accent.
All brogues kind of sound the same to me. Like, if the brogue's a brogue, like, it just sounds like a brogue.
Not true.
That's to me, it does. Okay.
The Scottish people use words, too, that I've never heard of before that. Like, so we had Kat on, who was, a broadcaster she traveled over from Scotland. We had her on the show. And so after the interview, I texted her, and she texted me back. She goes, great, laugh with you guys. We all need to go out and get a beer. Today is mental, as you can imagine. I've managed to blag my way into a big celebrity party tonight. Whatever blag is. Yep. And she goes,
any number.
As a backing singer, I couldn't make this blank up. And I said, there's got to be video. She goes, oh, yes. Problem is my slot's apparently at 1 a.m. We'll be well on our way by then. And it was just like a bunch of beer emojis. And I said, are you sure you're not a Bostonian? She goes, you sure you are not Scottish? So there you go. You're going to be running into this weekend if you're in town. You cannot miss them. The Tartan Army will be all around.
Can they bring the bagpipes into Boston Stadium? Is that legal?
No.
Not legal.
No, you cannot bring them. No, but I'm sure you can sneak some liquor in because they were complaining about the prices, which I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Yes, American concessions they're out of control. They are absolutely out of control. Come on, let's get a little bit of that over here. 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Red Sox. There was an interesting article about Craig Breslow and his future with the team. Will he make it through the rest of the season? I know, there's ears listening here at Fenway Park, but we got to talk about it. We'll do that next. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Christian Arcan. Thanks for coming in, Rich. We appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
This is Frightened Rabbit, Scottish band. Great band. They have a song called Get Out that is a perfect song. It's perfect.
Do they tone down the accent in the music? Because, like, even like Simple Minds, you can't tell they're Scottish.
Listen to him, you can hear it.
Yeah. It's not as pronounced, though.
I like this.
Oh, dude, Frightened Rabbits. Unfortunately, it's a tragic ending to the lead singer. He had some mental problems, but they've got about like 3 or 4 albums that are unbelievable. They're a great band. They are gone too soon, but. Someone else be gone too soon? And will that person be Craig Breslow? Oh, yeah. King of the transitions. You know you like it. The Red Sox are having a really awful, awful year. There's really no way to sugarcoat it. And thank goodness Sam Kennedy, when he was on with the Greg Hill Show earlier this week, did not. It was his first show that I believe he came on and wasn't condescending, didn't try to put up a front that things were better than they were. He said, you know what? This is as bad as it gets. There's no question that we need to be better. He even almost came out and said that they weren't going to go get a bat. I mean, why would you invest in a team right now? Why would you spend money when you know that this team are they still 13 games behind? Or is it 13 games?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Every day it gets worse. And the Craig Breslow question is interesting because a lot of people are taking a look at what he has done and they're saying, why are you keeping him around? I think it's to be a human shield for John Henry. I think it's so people have someone that they can blame and they can point their finger at, and it saves ownership a little bit of the humiliation. And Dan Shaughnessy had a great article where he talked to somebody from who he called the Cora 7, all those guys that were fired. And the quote that he got from them was, they cannot fire Craig because if they fire him, why did they fire us? So it's almost an admission of, boy, not only did we screw up the first time by trusting Breslow to get rid of Cora, but now we realize that we did screw up. So we're firing the guy that made that right there. So I have a feeling that he's probably going to last at the end of the season. You said Sean McAdam tweeted something, Christian?
Yeah, McAdam wrote in Mass Live that he can not envision a scenario in which, he didn't say those exact words, but roughly that he couldn't envision Breslow being on with the team after the end of the regular season. He thinks he's going to get fired right at the end of the year.
So we also, by the way, had Aroldis Chapman come out and kind of cryptically say, if the Yankees want to trade for me, they need to apologize.
That was nice.
Oh,
which, you know, was just in an interview, but like, I wonder if they've actually approached the Red Sox already, like, hey, we'd take Chapman back. And they approached Aroldis and said, hey, would you accept this trade? And it wouldn't be shocking. I mean, and Ken Rosenthal said today, top of the list would be Jaron Duran if you're going to trade guys away. And go in sell mode.
But didn't we hear that the Red Sox have an inflated perception of what Jaron Duran is worth as opposed to what other teams think he's worth?
That's true.
So there's that. And Aroldis Chapman is right. I mean, he should be thinking he's going to get traded because he right now I would think would be the number one person they'd want to get rid of.
And by the way, he has, Gordo pointed this out from the Playtesi guys, he's got an innings like trigger for another year on his contract, which I think is 40 innings, Arcan, something like that.
And he's at 19.
He has not pitched much lately, so you wonder if you're going to see him at all. They're going to like cautiously approach using him.
All right, if Breslow's tenure ends, whether it be now or be the end of the season, what will he be? What will his biggest mistake be known for? Like, what will he like? What fault
biggest
will stand out as being the worst of his tenure here?
Well,
I'd be the Devers trade.
Well, see, the thing about that is they made the playoffs after the Devers trade. It's almost the way they handled it, but in some ways that was Cora because Cora had the relationship with Bregman, so I don't really put a ton of that on him. I really think it's this offseason not getting the right-handed bat that he promised to get.
Yep. Losing then, Bregman?
Yeah, and then pivoting to pitching, which is just everybody thinks he's in love with pitching and can't get a hitter, and it's been so evident. And they made the playoffs last year. If they, to their point, had crescendoed and kept the momentum going and done the right things this offseason, everybody's in love with Craig Breslow. So it's really one big right-handed bat that they are missing from the lineup. That's the biggest thing. Now, if they had gotten Bregman, would their record be any different? I don't know.
It's funny you mention that because I saw you like in the we have a little group text that goes back and forth, and that was a great question. It's like, how much better is this team if they would have kept Bregman around? And there's certain things that you can't quantify with Bregman. I mean, God knows he got a lot of credit for how this team was able to rally last year.
And he's had a bad season, but he's pulled a lot of balls that at Wrigley apparently would be wall ball doubles here at Fenway. You know, I haven't broken it down to that extent, Arcan, but like he was a leader for Roman Anthony who got hurt. Obviously, you know, that's not going to prevent him from getting hurt, but you do just start to go down the, can one player make that big of a difference in bringing the whole team together?
So, I'd say so. Yeah, I think so. Because a lot of people, sorry, Rich, but going into the offseason, a lot of people thought, well, you bring Bregman back and then you have to add another bat too. You have to add something to that. And you did kind of get that with Contreras. But you let Bregman go. You didn't get him back. It came down to something dumb like a no-trade clause. And I think that'll probably be, if you trace it back to like when people started to turn on Breslow, that's probably the key point right there, I'd say.
So I went to three different simulators here, and I typed in, how much better would the Red Sox be if Alex Bregman was on the team? If the team had signed Alex Bregman,
Is there like a machine here at Fenway that you're using?
Oh,
like,
yes. I've got the Breslow machine here. No, but no, this is actually, to be quite honest, it's ChatGPT.
Oh.
there was a couple different, I did like three different AI things. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be a consensus. And that is, as a matter of fact, the one that makes the most sense said a reasonable estimate, the direct Bregman value, like as far as his offense, they said plus 4 to 6 wins this season. Defensive and lineup ripple effects, plus 1 to 3 wins, which means over a full season, they estimate anywhere from 5 to 8 additional wins. Sure. Does that get you in the playoffs?
Well, it gets you to 500 in the American League right now. Yes, I mean the Texas Rangers were like 26-31 a week and a half ago. They've just won four straight series. They're coming in here. They're 500, and they're a playoff team today. So that's all you needed is a 5-win swing is huge.
But instead, right now you have a team that just seems hopeless. I mean, they can't hit. Their walks, the walks things is just hysterical. How many straight innings did they go without a walk?
Ted was all over that. I think he had 28 or 32
it was like 28 innings without a walk. I believe they're last in the league. The ABS stuff they're so awful at. I mean, just this team could not be any worse. And I remember the other night because I said it. I said if they got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays, that was going to be the point of no return, where the season was essentially over and the rest was just going to be because you like going to Fenway Park. And who doesn't? Fenway Park's awesome. I love being
here. Don't say that. John's going to call and yell at me.
Maybe he will, but the team's really, really bad. And after hearing Sam Kennedy, you know, it doesn't sound like they're going to make any major changes other than selling. So as far as having a good baseball team this year, man, I was watching that game the other night. It was not the third one, but the second game where it seemed hopeless. And I made something, and I'm not very proud of this. It's not my best work, but I made it, so we might as well play it. When I go out, it's the Scottish boy band.
This is the Sweet Caroline of Scotland, basically.
Oh, sure. Yeah. This is the Proclaimers. Sunshine on Leaf. I don't know what Leaf is, but that was the name of the album. Did they have a follow-up? Who knows? But I just know, you know, I don't think anybody did it outside of Scotland. You think you can retire on this? You think this song was so big?
Huge. This song was a monster. And everyone still knows all the words to it.
Corporate gigs.
Yeah, oh sure.
Corporate gigs.
Right, just play this 14 times.
That's where the money is, yeah.
I guess so, yes. They both looked like Adam Clayton of YouTube. It's like two Adam Claytons. All right, it is Rich, Ken, and Christian Arcan. We are live from Fenway Park where the crowd is gathered. I guess it is scarf night. It's soccer scarf night.
Yep.
So there's a huge line to get in. And
Fenway green scarf.
Okay. And it should be because it is World Cup fever down here. Everywhere you go, you see people in kilts. The Scottish Army is kicking everyone's ass. Mm. Everyone's ass. The Tartan Army. I'm sorry. Let me get their name right. That's what they call themselves. That is the fan base of the Scottish national soccer team that is here.
And the Haitians apparently are already here. Text line was buzzing with, like, how do you guys not know it's the third largest Haitian population?
No, it's true.
So I apologize. I did not know that. So
I guess Framingham is like a huge, like there's a big Haitian community like near Framingham in that area as well. But it's true. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot. But the Scottish people, boy, they traveled. Oh, yes, they did. Real quick, let's go to Marin and Drake it right there, line one. What's up, Marin? How's it going?
You guys are missing the greatest Scottish band of all time, Nazareth.
Oh, Nazareth. Really? Dog. I never thought Nazareth was now you're messing with a son of a bitch.
Great song.
Is it, though?
Yes.
I'm not quite sure. Jack in Somerville, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good. You forgot one band, the
What's
Average
that?
White Band.
Oh, Average White Band is the Scottish.
Scottish?
Band.
Picking up a piece.
I'm telling you, we are going straight Hesher Rock here. Like, wow. We are going straight back to Trans Am music.
That's one of the great instrumentals of all time, Average White Band.
I don't even know which song you're
picking up the pieces.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Great song.
I don't think I know
You'd
that.
Know it if you heard
it. Oh, you
sure.
Definitely heard
I probably would if you had it. But
did not know they were Scottish.
No, I did not know. All right, well, they're all out here. They're knocking on the windows. And Noah, our intern, actually went out and said, you know what, let's talk to the Tartan Army. And let's see what they got to say. So Noah, this is from right outside right here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a decent amount of them just hanging around the game.
They're all walking around.
And they all have kilts.
Yeah. I pretty much only made sure to talk to the ones in kilts.
Of course. And they have that, and they're going to hate that I'm using this term, but I'm saying it out of ignorance because I don't know the name of it. It's like a man purse that hangs in front.
That too. It's like a fanny pack kind of thing. But
right.
Yeah.
It's like they keep their sensible snacks. All right, let's take a listen. Let's see who Noah ran into from the Tartan Army.
I'm here with Steven outside the EEI station. How are you enjoying Boston so far?
Yeah, it's a lovely city. I've been before, so yes, and a lovely place.
What can Americans know about Tartan Army?
What do I know? Well, if there's no Scotland, there's no party.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. But listen, we'll probably drink the place dry.
Yeah. What are you guys doing to enjoy your time in Boston?
Well, we're coming here tonight to see the Red Sox, and then we've got the big game tomorrow.
Thank you.
No worries.
All right, well, they sound Scottish. I actually understood what they were saying.
Just
I
got saying, that, yeah. Just him saying Red Sox is fun.
Red Sox. I actually understood what they were saying.
You should get a guy to replace the PA guy tonight and just announce every batter.
Have that would Scottish. Be awesome. Get Cat to do it.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think they might maybe they have to drink a little bit more for me to not understand them. They sound a little too sober for me. All right, turn the music down a little bit. Let's take a listen to this next clip, if you don't mind. Listen.
All right, how are you enjoying Boston so far?
Amazing. Best place in America. I used to live in Los Angeles, and the people from LA said people from Boston were very soft. Don't agree. Don't agree. People from Boston like Glasgow back home. Big hearts. Love it.
What can Americans know about Tartan Army?
Oh, what can they know? They never wear pants under their kilt. And they've all got massive bullies.
All right, now you lost me. Okay,
thank you.
Stop. What? Stop. You never know what's under the kilt? Is that what he said?
I think he said you never wear anything under the kilt. But the rest of it, I had no idea.
So tonight's going to be bags on and balls out at Fenway Park?
Gotta be, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Take some walks, finally.
Rewind that. What the hell did he just say?
They never wear pants under their kilt.
Never wear pants.
And they've all got massive bullies.
They've all got massive bullies. So you never wear anything under the kilt. We got massive bollies. So they got big nuts. That's what he's saying. All right. People from Scotland, they have enormous testicles.
Any chafing in there? Or what's going on?
I guess so.
Yeah, be sticking to their legs tonight.
Hey, hey. Oh, yeah. It's not sweaty. It's like a Laffy Taffy from one deck to the next. It's like fwop, 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 fwop. It makes a sound as I walk. I just love how the first things he meets a stranger. Somebody with a recorder is like, yeah, my nuts are big.
They never wear pants under their kilt. They all get massive bullies.
Hey, Rich, if you wanted something that you can't understand, the next one, I defy you to try to name one of the bands that he says.
All right, let's over here. Let's see what he's got.
I'm with Robert outside Fenway and just here to ask a couple questions. What are the three best bands in Scotland?
Scotland.
Stop.
Yeah, dude.
Scotland.
Surprised them.
I couldn't
hear. Why did you ask me about Scotland?
I couldn't hear. My balls were too stuck to my legs. I was like, it's so big, it's actually stuck to my ears. It's just flopping around. It's like a big old... It's like you got two cantaloupes that are stuck in a bag that's made out of flesh. He just met you and he's talking about the size of his nuts. Mm. Scottish people are the best. All right, let's see if we can figure out bands he's talking about.
What are the three best bands in Scotland?
Scotland. Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipsway.
Say it again.
Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipsway.
How are you enjoying your time in Boston so far?
I can stop it, stop it.
Red Wing?
Remnick, Hickmansway, and Spenway. Go back if you don't mind. I'm sorry.
Runrig, Deacon Blue, Hipsway.
Say it again.
Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipsway.
They're all in the Sox lineup tonight.
Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipsway.
Runrig.
They brought those up. They brought them up from Worcester.
Deacon Blues? Isn't that a song by
Steely Dan?
Steely?
I really have no idea what he just said.
Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipsway.
Hipswig.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, those could be names of bands that we've never heard of. They're like local bands in Scotland, but I couldn't even hear the words he was saying. Like, they just sounded like guttural grunts.
You know what I keep thinking when I hear these people is that Mike Myers really nailed it in So I Married an Axe Murderer, the dad. He really nailed the voice and the accent.
Run Red, Deacon Blue, and Hipswig.
Sounds just like him.
It's three of the greats right there.
All right, ready, Stiz? You are listening to...
Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipswig.
On WEEI.
Hipswig, three-time Super Bowl champion.
That's the new name of our show.
Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipswig.
Who's Dick and Play? I don't know who that is.
I thought it was Dick and Blue.
We got to look these bands up. Like, now I'm curious.
I can't even... Why'd you type in? I don't even know what letters you would type in. I don't understand even, like, the syllables that are coming out of...
Runrig, Deacon Blue, and Hipswig.
Okay.
Rumrick, Dick and Play, and Hipsway.
And Hipsway.
Hipsway.
Okay. Yeah. Or maybe he's just describing what it's like to walk around with these giant melons between my legs. I love the Scottish. I really do. I know, hopefully, maybe after the game tonight, I'll try to go down to the Dubliner and run into these guys. I mean, you'll never get in. I mean, the Dubliners, that seems to be ground zero, right? Yeah. Like, that's where they're all hanging out. Every video is them from the Dubliner. They found their bar.
No doubt.
They found their
spot. What sucks is that fan fest, they are limiting it to 5,000 people. 150,000 people applied. 5,000 are accepted at any one time. What the hell is the point?
Is that the thing over Government Center?
Yeah, Government Center, right across from the Dubliner.
Show me the cop slide. I want to go down me the cop slide. I'll be flip-flopping right all over that thing. I'll be hanging out. Imagine just seeing all those Scots going down the cop slide. That
I got my balls stuck in the cop slide.
Hey, I got to go back. I left them up at the cop. I mean, these things are dragging all over the place. It's like a laffy taffy. That's what they tell me.
Run Rig is a band. I have successfully located that band.
Run Rig?
Legendary Scottish Celtic rock band formed on the Isle of Skye in 1973.
How do you pronounce it? How do you spell that?
R-U-N-R-I-G.
Run Rig.
Run Rig.
Okay. We're coming back with some Run Rig. Okay, I want to hear a little Run Rig when we come back. And also, when we come back, the great Rob Bradford. He has been in the center of all of this controversy that's going on here with your Red Sox. And I'm everywhere I look. They're everywhere. They're haunting our dream. We're going to miss them when they're gone. All right. We're not going anywhere. In 2 minutes, we'll be back with Rob Bradford.
Run Rig, Deacon Blue, and Hipsway.